afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cedarstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. Pastor Butch Paul, well, you know, he was unable to join me today. He had to take Marcia to the doctor, so prayers up to both of them. But I am so pleasantly pleased to have Beth Ann from CSC Talk Radio join me for the next hour as we bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. It is Tuesday, April 2nd, 2019. Well, hello, Beth Ann.
Hey, you didn't tell me we're talking about finances. I thought it was a recipe show or something.
Oh, well, we can do that too.
And then when we get this world all settled out, we'll do the kitchen clatter again or something. I don't know if people know what that is.
Waiting.
That was a Midwest thing, I think.
I'm still waiting for the two.
For the two.
For the two. To do a radio program.
Yes,
the two.
Yes, we should do that.
We should. I know. We were great when we had a program. Everybody liked it. I miss it.
They got giggles.
Yes.
We woke them up in the morning with a few giggles. We did.
Yes. Before we went throughout the day and got worn out by 4 o'clock. But anyway, thank you for taking the time out. And let me go ahead and do the gold pricing today. Gold, $1,291.90, up $3.60. Silver was down 2 pennies at $15.16. Platinum is holding its own at $853, with palladium up another $12 at $1,438. The USDX today down a penny, 97.35, but crude oil keeps climbing, 1.06 at 62.65. And let's see, the Dow 78 points to the downside, 26,179. The NASDAQ 7,848, up 19. And the S&P basically unchanged at 28.67. 10-year yield, well, yesterday I was surprised we hit 2.50, and today it's 2.48, so the yield is down 0.02. London was up over 1%. It was surprising after, you know, their vote for Brexit. Their vote for Brexit was, again. So they're still in a quandary as far as, or conundrum as far as, what they're going to do. Many of them are asking for a new referendum to re-vote on it. And, they just can't get it done. But I think that's kind of the whole agenda. They don't want to get it done.
I think that's true. I like hearing them argue. I think it's kind of funny watching them argue there on Parliament floor, yelling and screaming at each other.
They've even took a swing or two in the past.
Yeah, they have. They get even a little more active, is your word, than our Congress. Our Congress just sits there, and they do get a little heated once in a while, but not like Parliament. Parliament, they really get pretty funny. I get a big kick out of it.
Yeah, I'll tell you what.
It's all for show, I'm certain. But
it is just a little bit
just
of
like
fighting
it is here.
Yeah. For just a little bit of fighting. Walgreens shares, they dropped a 12.6%. We're going to talk a little bit about an article today, Beth, about retail layoffs are 92% higher in 2019.
Wow.
And even Walmart is quietly closing stores. How about that? Kind of
interesting,
huh? Mm-hmm. We've been talking about these major retailers laying off by tens of thousands of workers for the past couple of years. You know, many are saying that it's, you know, all due to online buying and so forth. Some of this article that I'm talking from is relaying is from the economic collapse. Are you prepared for the coming economic collapse and the next Great Depression? And they say more than from Challenger, Gray, and Christmas, and I think we went over these numbers not too long ago, Beth, but it's worth repeating, more than 41,000 people have lost their jobs in the retail industry so far this year. This is a 92% spike in layoffs since the last time last year.
It's how much? How much?
92. This is a 92% spike in layoffs since the same time last year. And this is according to Challenger, Gray, and Christmas, retail layoffs were up a whopping 92% in January and February.
Now, do they? I'm just asking questions because you watch this a lot closer than I do. Do they? They usually have some layoffs in January, don't they? After Christmas season, in the retail business.
They probably do.
Okay.
You know, naturally they do.
Not a 92% spike, but I mean.
Yeah. I don't think that's. But you might see a little bit. So you know, okay. So it's only 85%. You know, that's still pretty significant.
That's still a lot. Yeah, it's very significant.
And Walmart is closing at least 11 U.S. stores across 8 states. Mm. And let's see, Louisiana, Arizona, California, Kansas, South Carolina, Tennessee, Virginia, and Washington. So, you know, they've listed the addresses and everything. So those are, we all know that Shopko is going to liquidate its assets and close all of their remaining locations. Let's see if there's anything else interesting in there. We have Lifeway Christian bookstores. They announced last week it would be closing the doors of 170 brick and mortar stores.
They've been in trouble for a long time.
Yeah.
Yes, they've been struggling. Lifeway has been struggling for a long, long time.
Well, they said they're going to try to focus on the digital and e-commerce, but I'm not so sure that's going to help them as we see people fall away from that type of reading in today's
world.
And
that's where we used to, when I was a secretary for a church, that's where we received most of our Sunday school books and such, was from Lifeway.
Yeah.
And, you know, if they're getting away from that, you know, it's going to hurt business as well. And unfortunately, our churches don't have as many people in them as they did before either.
Yeah. And again, so is that a sign of poor sales due to online selling, or is it the, as you mentioned, it's symptomatic that there's a falling away and a different type of teaching that is going on in churches today. So it also looks like during the months of December, January, and February, the amount of items, stuff, so to speak, is being moved around the country by truck, rail, and air was lower than during all of those same months a year earlier. So again, the signs continue to show us that it seems absolutely that the economy is slowing down. And these are things that we're going to have to face. And as the economy is slowing down, as the layoffs seem to be, one of these days we're, hey, it was just this week we'll get the jobs report on Friday, but last month it was 20,000. So I would expect to see some sort of a decent number coming out of Friday, but who knows? And as Americans are beginning to lose jobs, they're going to pay $122 billion in credit card interest this year.
Wow.
$122 billion in credit card interest this year. 50% more than 5 years ago.
Wow.
I mean,
we don't learn our lessons, do we?
I don't think so. Americans paid $113 billion during 2018. And that's up 12% from interest paid in 2017 and up by roughly half over the last 5 years. And without any additional rate hikes in 2019, Americans will spend $122 billion on credit card interest in 2019, almost $10 billion more than they did in 2018. So even though the rates, might be staying the same, they're still going to be paying more. You know, you buy more, you spend more, you pay more in interest. So in 2017, the credit card debt eclipsed $1 trillion for the first time since the financial crisis, and we're still at near record highs. A little over $1 trillion in credit card. Delinquency rates for credit cards, on the other hand, remain stable, far below their peak in 2019, of course, when we were in the economy was basically in free fall. So again, signs, signs, everywhere a sign.
I know a song like that.
Do you? Well, I thought you'd start singing it since you're the singing.
Sign, everywhere, sign. That's it. That's all I know.
That's all you know. But so again, these are, you know, it's going to be a difficult year. And I just don't know how long, Beth, it's going to be before people begin to realize that, hey, we have issues. We have problems.
And who was it? What store or what company was it that we were talking about 2 weeks ago when you were on my show that they gave they went into the $15 minimum wage and immediately then turned around and laid people off or cut back hours? And I can't remember what company that was. You know, it's like they were being the big volunteers. We're going to do it before it's mandatory. And then, of course, they immediately cut hours.
Yeah,
and they,
I mean,
you know, people. I can't remember what company that was. And we talked about that a couple of weeks ago. And my memory is failing me.
Probably as radio show hosts, we probably shouldn't say that our memory is failing us.
Oh, maybe we shouldn't say that. My memory is failing you. You're hosting this one. I probably threw that paper away, but anyway.
So yeah, I mean, again, these are just signs, and $15 minimum wage isn't going to cut it. I mean, you know, we talk about that all the time on this program during the week. We talk about the universal basic income, you know, and how all these new Democrats are just looking to
go socialistic.
To go so well, we're already there. It's just
well, we are. They want to go full hog in it. I had, you know, they're just nuts. I don't know how else to put it. But you go ahead with your markets, and then we'll talk about some of that other stuff.
Yeah, I'm pretty much bringing it to, you know, we can go on to something else since you're my guest today. You're co-hosting. And
I'm co-hosting.
You're co-hosting.
That sounds so good. Well, I was, they want to go full hog into socialism. We're really, we have a lot of socialistic legislation and things that we're dealing with today, which is one reason our economy's not in good shape, which is one, because they're not doing anything according to the Constitution. And so I like to call him Beto O'Rourke, the table dancer, because he likes to jump up on the tables and do his speeches. But this is how ill-informed or just how big a liars these people are. And but he wants to abolish the Electoral College. Of course, we know that's been going on for some time. The Democrat Party, when they lose, they've got to change the rules because they can't win if they don't. But he says our democracy is warped. It is corrupted right now. And I'm thinking, yeah, it's corrupt, all right, but it's not the democracy. The democracy is not what we're supposed to be. A democracy is mob rule. So they're trying to get rid of the Electoral College. And if we do that, you know, he says, if we don't fix it, it's never going to get better. And he mentioned one person, one vote. Well, one person, one vote, as far as the Democrat Party, the way they're talking. I know there's a lot of Republicans that are in on this too. The Democrat Party in particular is being the loud ones right now over this particular topic with the Electoral College. If they do away with that Electoral College, there is nothing left of the Republic. We barely have any threads to hold on to that right now anyway. But it'll be mob rule. Socialism is totally government rule. So they keep saying we're a democracy, which is a mob rule. That's not what the founding fathers intended. But they're proposing, at least Bernie and Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and Kamala Harris and some of these others that are running for president, they're pushing socialism, 100% plus socialism.
Communism is what it really is.
It
socialism
is
just a nicer
just
a kind
nice
of word.
Word.
For him.
Yeah,
it's just a
it's
nicer
just a
word. But, you know, I mean, we truly are there. And, you know, that is, they're going to go in there and try to change things. My question is, and my concerns are, is it just a matter of time until they get what they want?
Or do we have to fall completely into it before we realize what we've done?
Yep, exactly.
The young people don't know. I mean, they're so ignorant. I was watching last night, and I'm I don't mean to just bounce around here, but I had something that I was telling you about before we went on the air, where they've got another, they're wanting to take down Thomas Jefferson. Well, where did I put that? A Thomas Jefferson monument at a college. Oh, here it is, right on top. Because he stands for racism. That's all the founding fathers ever stood for, was white supremacy and racism. They just don't know their history. And yes, we have dark days in our history where we had slavery, and I'm not going to deny that at all. But they don't understand what the republic really was supposed to be, and they don't understand what a democracy is. And if they think socialism's going to work when they do it, when it hasn't worked with anybody else, then they're really misinformed. But I saw last night where many of them, especially the white college students, they actually thought they were doing a favor going back to segregation. They wanted to, their black students to have their own graduation and have their own classes, their own clubs, and actually it was just kind of scary. And then the same person on the street that was asking this question was asking some of the citizens of color and students of color, and they're just going, what are we going back in time? I mean, these people don't understand where we've been and where we're going and where we are. They don't realize, you know, as bad as things may be sometimes, how good we got here. And that's kind of scary when you think about that, when you know they're the ones screaming white supremacy, and they're saying, well, maybe they should have their own graduation separate from ours. And it's like, what?
You know, you talk about history, and it's like, you know, you're right. They don't teach history, because if they teach history, they can't change history.
Well, there you go. Or repeat it.
And, you know, I know there's, you know, and I've heard on the radio, listening to these people talk one time, that they want to go back in time and review how people lived and how they, you know, and again, it's bringing racism to the founding fathers and at a time, and it's like, you just can't go back and put thoughts and change society. I mean,
and yet,
those were society norms.
And yet, they ignore Margaret Sanger.
Yeah.
They worship the ground the woman walked on, and she wanted to do away with certain people.
Yeah. So it's fascinating to live in this time, and we're heading into a break. This is just as fascinating. We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen.
Than I never knew. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. Yes, I think to myself, what a wonderful world.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSC Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSETalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at DGScoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
He was a famous trumpet man from out Chicago way. He had a bookish style that no one else could play. He was the top man at his craft. But then his number came up and he was gone with the draft. He's in the army now, a blowing reveille. He's the bookie boogie with the ball of company B.
They made him sang that one.
Oh, I'm sorry, ladies. I'm sorry, ladies it's and gentlemen, possible. That you have to listen to us kind of. We really are. This is really financial survival, and we really do take your finances seriously, but every once in a while, what the heck?
It's on.
We're just going to have to change our little tune, so don't tune us out, please. But go to our website at dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com. Make sure you sign up for a weekly newsletter, and of course, give us a call at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. And still great prices on both gold and silver. I'm going to have to put together a special for the month of April. Haven't worked on that yet. People really came into, something woke people up in May. I think it was heading into the Basel III Accord, thinking that, the prices would skyrocket. But you got to remember, folks, that the Basel Agreement actually, started to go into effect back in 2012, and they had to finalize it by this month. And so, maybe that's the reason why prices have been low all this time and prices couldn't take off. Because, when central banks and so forth, when bankers and countries want to buy a commodity, what do? They hit it. They hit the price. And they're not going to pay high prices for it. They're going to buy it at all these lower prices. So, and that's what you should be doing. So it's very important. That's a big deal about the Basel III Accord. So just because the price didn't jump, that a lot of folks were telling you that it might, and it could still, of course it's going to. We all know gold is going to 3,000 and probably 5,000, and who knows how higher than that. It's just not on our time schedule, but I believe we're getting a little bit closer, and you're protecting your purchasing power, so don't become disappointed just because it didn't, skyrocket today or yesterday with the Basel Accord. That's a big deal, and it's going to be very good for your gold and silver holdings, so be patient, my friends, and you buy gold and silver for a long-term investment. So I know how frustrated it is, how frustrating it can be. But just remember, it isn't going to be pleasant when gold is $5,000.
I was going to say it hit several years ago. It hit 25 and 27, didn't it?
Gold? No.
Yes. No, I thought it did.
It was a little over 1,900.
Oh, okay. I was thinking it hit 2,000 back in. When my old boss was still living, I was thinking that it had hit that back then.
I think it was 2011 that it hit. Was he still around?
Yes. Yeah. Well, yeah. He passed away in March of that year.
But it did not go to 2,500 or 2,700. Now there were $20 gold pieces that were that high and higher.
Oh, okay, that may be what I'm thinking of.
Yeah. There's a lot of $20 gold pieces that were much, much higher than that.
He wrote that gold price down. He keeps, I've told you I keep a yellow sheet for every show. That's what he taught me to do. And he would write the gold and silver prices down on every yellow sheet, mm-hmm. the top of his page when he started the day. He didn't announce it. He just kept that. And then he'd go back and look what it was. Mm-hmm. It's the way he kept his calendars and stuff. So mm-hmm. kind of neat. Yeah.
We, you know, we were talking about histories and we were talking about the youth and so forth heading into the break. And, you know, there was an article today by Markets Insider, and it was written by Gina Heeb, H-E-E-B. And the headline is Millennials Are About to Overtake Baby Boomers as the Largest Adult Generation. And, of course, this article is in relationship to how it's going to drastically alter the U.S. housing market. And because you have older generations, older generations age, they're going to look to sell properties. Mm-hmm. So you could see growth in the rental market could outpace home ownership over the next decades. Americans have already begun to lean toward rentals as softer construction activity and housing shortages price potential buyers right out of the market. But I think this is a little more, and this is, I don't know if there is a year on this, according to population projections from the U.S. Census Bureau, millennials are projected to overtake baby boomers as the largest living adult generation this year.
Wow. That's kind of amazing. But then at the same time, when you stop and think about it, are the millennials the children of the baby boomers?
And
are they the next,
It would be the next.
Next generation, okay.
Well, somewhat, yes. Mm-hmm. But the thing of it is, it's more important than just the housing market. Think about voting. Think about these new Democrats, these young Democrats. Think about what their agenda is, and then you look to what the millennials, what they support: free college,
free healthcare, guaranteed jobs, guaranteed wages.
And when you really think about it, ladies and gentlemen, those that promote socialism and communism, the only thing that was really maybe stopping them was the baby boomer generation. It was the older generation. It was us. Mm-hmm. And we're no longer going to be or have that much influence anymore. So this leads me to ask, what direction is this country really going? What is this country really going to be in 2030? 2040? It's not that far away.
No, it's not that far away.
So
we're looking at 2020 elections. You remember the song in the year 2525?
Yeah.
Just like that seemed like forever away. And here we are entering in the 2020. It's kind of,
It is. But, again, it's, I don't know. I don't know if they will educate themselves. Will they learn by becoming adults and having responsibilities? If, you know, there will be a change from their strong liberalism that we see today and become a little more conservative and understand a little more about our Constitution and how great this nation is.
Of course, we have, we have Turning Point, a couple others, young people, conservative organizations that don't believe in the socialism. They believe in more of a conservative approach. But the ones, of course, the ones you see, as they used to say, the wheel that squeaks the loudest gets the grease, are the loud ones.
That's
like
true.
Like the Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, if they tied her hands down, she wouldn't be able to. But anyway. But those are the ones we hear, and those are the ones we see. They're the ones protesting, knocking over, monuments in colleges, saying that all represents, racial profile, racism, and white supremacy, and it's just crazy, because they really don't understand history. And there was a black gentleman, and I don't know his name, but he was talking about, they all want to be paid for the sins of the past and any ancestors that might have been in slavery. They want, reparations for that. And he was talking against that. He goes, well, so what are we going to do? Some of them here in this country came from other countries. And he says, we even have white people that were slaves in other countries. And as well as here, he said that we had black families here that own slaves as well as white families that own slaves. You know, what's going on? He says, where do you draw the line? Where do you stop it? You know, he says, when do we start being responsible for our own generation, for our own time? And I thought that that was really, really, really wise of him. Of course, he wasn't a younger man. He was an older man and had been quite successful in his life, but not without, I'm sure, prejudices along the way as well. But, you know, we all suffer with some of that. I don't because I'm black, but I'm not black. But I've had other things that have been against me. And it's just, you know, when do we start being responsible for now? And I think the millennials that are the loudest, the ones that are screaming all this, I think as soon as they have to start paying the bills, they'll figure it out.
And you know what I saw that was, I mean, just not to interrupt, but you know, these millennials, I mean, hey, with the Affordable Care Act, I don't know if it was prior to that, though, too, where, you know, hey, I remember when, you know, I was, 18? I was no longer insured on my parents' health insurance policies.
That's right.
Now they're 27.
I remember that day.
Now they're 27.
I'm living in mom and dad's basement because they can't get jobs.
You know, so they're not given any responsibilities until they're 27. And I remember reading an article, I talked about it on this program. Most of your millennials, they don't think they're adults. They don't consider them an adult until they're between, what, 25 and 32?
And now they want them to vote at 16? That doesn't make any sense, does it?
Well, I don't know if they want to vote, but the political, you know, the Democrats do. They're, you know.
And part of what I see is almost, it's sad. I don't know if I had shared this with you or on another show, was I watched the interview of a young woman who had made the decision because she's sold out on climate change, and she made the decision that they're not going to procreate. No children. They're not going to have any children. They're going to save the planet by not having children. I said, now, if everybody stopped and did that, I said, so those who are expecting now, look, 80 years in progress, 80 to 85 years, whatever the average lifespan is of a child, a man and a woman. And I said, and when the last one dies, what have we saved the planet for? It's just like, you know, it's hard to get to where their logic is. You know, how is that going to save the planet? It doesn't make any sense. But it's sad that they have bought into all of these things without stopping and thinking.
But the thing, what they really bought in is that they're the ones that are destroying the planet. Let's really look.
They can make a difference.
Let's really look at the people who are destroying this planet. You know how? You know, mainly it's all your multinational corporations and blah 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 blah. The pollution and so forth. Who really generates the most pollution?
Well, it's not the United States.
Good grief! You know,
it's
China.
You're
right. And
we've got the cleanest air, and we're the ones that they want to punish, you know, people like Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, but really the Green New Deal, and I know we're just kind of all over the spectrum here, but she's one of these young people that believes in this. It's not about saving the planet. If you sit down and read it, it's only 14 pages. You sit down and read it, it's not about saving the planet. It's Agenda 21 all over again, and it's about controlling the people, not saving a planet.
No, not at all. That's what it's all about, is control.
And it doesn't matter how many times she waves her arms. I'm not going to believe her. She can pound the table. She can do whatever she wants. It's just like, Alexandria, calm down.
You just like saying her name.
I do love saying her name. I have a name like Beth. You know, it's just Beth. You know, I could have been an Alexandria.
It was a Melody.
I'm just Beth. Melody's a pretty name, though.
Yeah. But anyway, so yeah, so
I think we've lost them all now, Bill.
I think so. Come back, ladies and gentlemen.
Sorry, I'm so sorry.
What else do you want to talk about today?
Well, that was pretty much all I had. No, the border issue. I wanted to tell you something that I've done. And this doesn't really have anything to do with the border issue, although it is mentioned on it, and I can't can't explain it all to you. I have to email it to you. I wrote a cease and desist letter that is fashioned after the Declaration of Independence, and I sent it to Congress. I sent it to all the Missouri reps and senators, all of them. I sent it to all four of the leaders of Congress, and I sent it to the president, marking it copy with a handwritten note to him as to what I was done. And a lot of my listeners have sent it as well. And we're just starting to get letters back. We're getting letters. Getting letters back from the senators and the representatives. They don't get it. So we're probably going to have to send them again. And I'm going to increase where I send them. I'm going to send them to, what's the committee called that Schiff's the head of? I can't remember the name. They're doing all – it's Intel Committee, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to send it to all of them next, but I'm going to have to do another one and do a show on. They just don't get it, you know, because you know the guy that sent it back here.
Well,
in
what
the state
does your letter?
Desert.
What does your letter?
Well, it's kind of like the Declaration of Independence. That let me bring it up. I don't have it in front of me. Hang on a second. I have to bring it up. It's rather lengthy. It's four pages. And where's my cease and desist? And I started out, hold on a second, let me find it. There it is.
Who did you get letters back from?
Right now I've only got one back from a Missouri rep. His last name is Graves. He's down in the southern part of the state. He's not mine. He's in the 6th district. But I put to the Honorable Speaker of the House, to the Honorable Minority Leader, and blah, 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 to all Congress, this is a letter of cease and desist from we the people, the citizens of the United States of America. Your blatant refusal of Constitution and liberty has not gone unnoticed. It has now become necessary for we the people to intervene and to remind you of your duties and your oath of office and to the Constitution of the United States and to the people to which it stands. We the people do now demand that the coup against this 45th president of the United States be ended forthwith. And then I go ahead and I mention other things too, and I mention the Fourth Amendment national security. I mentioned the wall, which has to do that. A national economy, our economy, your obligation as Congress is to operate within a balanced budget. However, you have brought this nation to an unsustainable debt, making it weak and vulnerable and unprepared for any state of emergency. And I put cease and desist after each one of these.
Mm-hmm.
You continue. Yeah, I'll send it to you. You can send it to your reps and senators. I think we should flood them with it. And when we get these other letters back, I think I'll have a second one. You know what? You're missing the point. You're missing the point. And anyway, I have the infrastructure listed on here and protecting liberties and property, guarding individual rights and life, mentioning...
we're heading into a break. Ladies
anyway.
And gentlemen, we'll be right back, and we're here with Beth Ann from CSC Talk Radio. Please stay tuned.
Prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Pennsylvania 6-5-0.
Did you pick out all this music for me?
Oh, I love it. And I want to thank you again.
I love the old music.
Yes, I do too. The big band. Glenn Miller and all the rest, but 1-800-375-4188. You're listening to Financial Survival. You really are. I'm Melody Cedarstrom, and I'm here with my guest today, Beth Ann from CSC Talk Radio.
Who likes to get her off target? I like to get her off. I like to get her chasing these rabbits all over the place.
Oh, so we were talking about your little letter and
my little letter of cease and desist. I quote, go ahead. Huh?
No, I was just gonna say cease and desist.
Cease and desist from the American people. I tell you what inspired me was, of course, I've been aggravated, as you have been, at all the stuff that they do up there in Congress. And in my opinion, Congress is the problem. Presidents come, presidents go, Congress stays and stays and stays. Well, Schiff, this was before Mueller's report came out and they decided that the new attorney general is a spy for Russia. It was before then. And they were going to send 81 people, 81 people that are associated with President Donald Trump, past or now, letters and subpoena them. They want to know all of their backgrounds. And that was just kind of the straw that broke the camel's back, because I'm thinking these 81 people, basically they're innocent citizens, just because they happen to know President Donald Trump and have had dealings with him or worked with him. And the Congress is supposed to be there protecting the people, not attacking the people. And it just was kind of the straw that broke the camel's back. And so that's what provoked me. In fact, I said the latest in the letter, I put the 81 letters sent to current and past associates of President Donald Trump has been issued to intimidate, harass, and financially break the wills and destroy the livelihoods of innocent citizens. The action is in direct violation of the Fourth Amendment of the Citizens' Bill of Rights, and I quote it in there. I put it out there for them. I put it in bold so they could see it, because I'm pretty sure they haven't read it. And of course, I put cease and desist. And I just go on in it on different topics, and there was no way to cover them all. But if you go back and you read the Declaration of Independence and you see what the grievances were of the fathers, the founding fathers, with the king at that time, it's not a whole lot different, unfortunately.
It's very true. It's very true.
So I've had a lot of listeners that have been sending them out, and I don't want them to just send it to one person. I want them to send it to several people. I send it to even the representatives that are not mine. I'm not in their district. I sent it to them here in the state of Missouri. I figured I would cover my state and both senators. Of course, Senator Roy Blunt decided to vote against the president when it came to the the emergency declaration. And he had all kinds of excuses for that. All of a sudden, after 40 years, it's an issue. No. So he kind of upset me, but he has upset me before. I haven't voted for him in a long, long time. But somehow they keep getting elected. You know, they just keep getting in there.
Yeah, they do. And I continue to see your old, what's her name, Claire McCaskill.
Oh, my gosh.
You know, they float her everywhere. now that she lost her seat and so forth. So, I mean, if you listen to these people, they really are nuts.
They're arrogant.
Yes.
They're above you and me.
They're crazy. But they are. No, they're crazy. They're nuts.
They're very proud of themselves. Yeah. And so when you get these letters back, you know, you can kind of see they're just doing this, political mumbo jumbo. And so I'm not going to let it rest. I don't know. I felt like I had one of my affiliates call me and she was just bragging on this letter. And I'm thinking, I don't really take credit for it because I really felt like I was inspired to write it. It could have covered a lot more than it did. And, they want now, they're coming out, they want to control they've always wanted to control the Supreme Court. So they're wanting to put term limits on the Supreme Court. I'm not necessarily against that, but I'm thinking maybe we should talk about term limits for Congress first. So, I don't know. Anyway.
Well, you know, there's a Reuters Trump, don't know if this is, but this just came. It was just, I guess it was earlier today, where President Trump, they said, took a step back a little bit from the threat to close the southwest border.
Yeah, I've got that too. Mm-hmm.
And crediting Mexican officials with taking big steps in recent days to apprehend more U.S.-bound migrants crossing into the country.
How long will that last?
How long will this last? You're absolutely correct. And again, after pressure from the U.S. and foreign companies had worried, of course, about the shutdown. You're right. We'll see how long it lasts. And
they only stepped up because he threatened them. That's the only reason they stepped up.
The only reason they stepped up was because we were told that they were actually going to stop funding Honduras, Guatemala, and El Salvador. I think it has to go through Congress to stop the funding. So just to say we're going to stop it doesn't mean that it actually happened. But maybe Mexico was a little concerned that the funding would also stop coming from the United States. And, we do know that the new NAFTA agreement has not been ratified yet. And, it could be months, it could be September before Mexico.
Or never.
Or never. And it goes right back to
Congress
the old...
Congress just isn't moving. Yeah. Congress isn't moving.
Well, it isn't Congress. It's actually Mexico.
Oh, okay. I was thinking Congress.
From what I was reading, it was actually Mexico with the new president. And he wants the tariffs off the steel and aluminum. And they had... I read this just the other day. They had to... their deadline was a couple weeks. And then for them to decide... And it can actually go into, I think it was September of this year. So, but it's more Mexico than the United States.
Okay.
So, we'll have to see. But, I don't know if this gives them, I don't know who's got the bargaining power. So.
Well, I would think we do, but I don't know.
I would think so. But, not quite sure.
Well, he backed off because they stepped up, and they only stepped up because of the threats that were coming their direction. And if they want something, they better start scratching the back over here, and they better stop letting this invasion happen, because they could stop it easily.
Well, sure, they could stop it on their southern border.
Yep.
I mean, that's that simple. You know, it just always amazes me. They always show these people walking. Do you know how long it would take to walk from southern Mexico? It's like walking across the United States.
I've seen them in trucks and buses, and the buses were provided to them by certain other great rich people. But
I know, but whenever you hear them talking about it on these, non-conservative fake news media shows on the television, they're walking, you know.
Well, I like the conservative one. They keep showing the same woman. She's kind of heavy set, and they keep showing the same woman trying to climb the wall, and they're pushing her up over the wall, and it's the same one every time. And I said, "Is that the only woman climbing the wall?" It's all in what they want you to see. But there is a crisis down there, and the crisis starts in Congress, because Congress is we have good immigration laws, but they refuse to put them in progress, you know, to initiate them. And so we've got a mess. And then they want us to house them all and to feed them all and to take care of them all and then just put them all into our – that doesn't make any sense to me, you know, catch and release. It doesn't make any sense. Catch and release them on the other side of the border.
Absolutely.
That's not what's going on.
It's not what's going on. And with the talk and discussions of a stronger economy, you know, those that are, you know, coming here, yeah, that's going to attract them too.
Yeah. Well, plus with the perks that they're getting. I mean, when they come here, even if they're here illegally, you know, we want to give them everything they've got, you know. We want to take care of them because, you know, because they have children. And, you know, I love children. But I don't think that that's the reason we should reward them for doing something illegal.
No, absolutely not. So, okay. What's any other
on the next agenda?
Yeah, any other... what's next?
Well, I have an article with going back to the wall. I had an article here that I thought was real interesting. And it says, no, nobody's going to show this on TV, but it's a wall that Hungary put up. And it gives the statistics on that. It says, on the day its border fence was completed, the influx of illegals entering Hungary went down from 6,353 people per day to 870 the next day. And they have continued to drop and drop till they've only got about 40 per day. So the wall works. That was something interesting when we were talking about the border. I thought that was kind of interesting.
Yes.
But nobody talks about the walls that work. They just want to say they don't work and that they're immoral.
Well, the wall is not immoral at all. You know, but I think enforcing the laws would have much more impact than even the walls would. And, you know, I'm... You know,
well, I agree with you there, but I do think they need the wall to protect the ones that are down there, as well as, you know, they need the border patrol, but they have got a wall. They don't have to have quite as many people, but if they would just implement the laws that we have, that would deter an awful lot.
Yeah, and what they're trying to do is they're trying to change the tone on this. Now they're trying to call, you know, as I said, they used to, you know, they're coming here for jobs and so forth and whatnot, and now they're trying to make them sound a little bit softer, gentler. Now these are refugees leaving from these war-torn countries that have so much violence and you know, their lives are in jeopardy and so forth. And that might be true. I'm not saying that it isn't. And, you know, but we're just trying to, if they want to come here, they just come here legally.
Right. And we've got plenty of that going on, too. I mean, that's something, you know, you met, we had him on our show when we were doing the show in the morning on Power Talks. We had Mike Cutler on, and he was talking about that, you know, where that is a problem, too, because they want to increase that by 500% or more. And I think we just ought to get a handle on what we've got before we decide what we're going to do by increase or decrease either one. We just need to stop the influx right now and kind of take a step back and look, where are we and how can we meet the needs of these people? And but our first is to meet the needs of our own people and then meet the needs of the others. That's just the way it is. But anyway.
Yeah, but you know what? That's not even going to happen, even with even coming from, you know, the conservative side, religious, whatever side, and you know, because it's, I don't think, you know, they're going to continue to, you know, they're not going to put any type of moratorium on them, on any type of immigration. You know, the whole idea that it all started was to stop. And I agree. My thought is you just stop funding to all these programs, period.
Well, that's where
that would solve all the problems.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You know, that's the easiest way. But all that has to go through Congress. And we know what happens there.
Right.
So is it so, you know, you're fighting a losing battle to some degree.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can't put a more. I agree. There should have been a moratorium on it a long time ago. You know, what's wrong with that?
Absolutely.
until you can settle up. That's the number. You're not going to be able to do that. They're just going to hopefully try to get them in here legally so they can track them and, you know, and get their money. That's the only reason they want. That's the only reason government wants them in here legally, so they can get their money.
Well, and the reason Congress is allowing it is because they've made deals with the Koch brothers and the Chamber of Commerce and some of these other big corporations to get this cheap labor in here.
Yep.
That's exactly what it is. It's all about cheap labor. And I still believe that the drugs that are coming in here, I believe they're making money on that. I believe Congress is in it up to their eyeballs.
Absolutely.
And that's why they don't want to fix anything.
Yeah, I agree
with you.
Because
their way of thinking, it ain't broke. That's just my opinion. I don't have lawyers. I don't have investigators. I'm just trying to see what's going on. And there's only one reason in my mind that they would be against fixing this mess, because they're profiting from it. They've made deals and they can't back off from them.
You're absolutely correct. And that's what's wrong with having deals made in our government. But anyway.
Exactly. Yes.
But you know, this is, remember a couple of years ago when there was possible they brought people back into this country that had Ebola?
Yes.
Well, you know, the WHO has reported that the Congo Ebola outbreak is spreading faster than ever.
Wow.
Yeah, they're actually looking at the fastest rate 8 months after it was first detected. In the past 2 weeks has registered a record number of new cases, making a sharp setback for efforts. So hopefully those that go there to help them out and so forth stay there. They don't bring it back into the States like they did the last time. That was just a couple of years ago, 4 or 5 years ago, that it was a big deal.
Yeah, it hasn't been that long ago. No.
Yeah. So, Beth, thank you. I hear the music.
You're
around
welcome.
Time.
You're
I
welcome.
Really do appreciate you taking it. Folks, listen to her
fun.
Program. Get the listeners where they can find you on the shortwave.
And see, it's on 121.6. I've lost it. 121.6. And you will be with me tomorrow.
Yes, I will.
And they can also go to my website, csctalkradio.com, and pick us up right there live. 10:06 Central Time. Thank you, Melody.
Thank you,
appreciate
Beth.
It.
Thank you,
see you tomorrow.
We'll